PFW Chicago Football Podcast is brought to you by Loot Crate. If you go to lootcrate.com/Shaw and use our promo code SHAW, you're going to get $3 off your first crate. And heading into the month of November, the theme is magical. They folks at Loot Crate have cast a powerful agent spell to deliver 100% exclusive crates. And we're talking items from the upcoming movie Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. I'm a big Harry Potter person, obviously J.K. Rowling and the Harry Potter connection with that movie. So you'll get something from that in your crate this month, of course, and also Big Trouble in Little China and Doctor Strange, another upcoming movie which looks pretty good. So if you go ahead and use our promo code SHAW, S-H-A-W, when you go to lootcrate.com, you get $3 off your first crate. Someone's got to do it, so we're the ones to do it. Let's talk some Bears. Welcome to PFW Chicago Football Podcast. I am your host, Kevin Fishbane. After a bit of a long break from the Bears' loss last week against Green Bay on Thursday Night Football, we're back to get you ready for Monday Night Football on Halloween. Trick or treat, the Bears host the Vikings on ESPN. And good news, it's the last primetime game for the Bears during the 2016 season. I am joined by my executive producer, Dan Mott. You can follow him on Twitter at Mott's Thoughts. If you follow me at K Fishman and all of our Bears coverage at Bears_Insider online at profootballweekly.com/Bears. And be sure to add us on Snapchat, Bears_Insider. Could have some pretty good Snapchats from Soldier Field on a Halloween night if you got some folks in some pretty good costumes, maybe dressing up as great Bears of old, a.k.a. just going to Soldier Field wearing their Mike Ditka jerseys. A big shout-out to our associate producer, John Sally, who is not going to be with us for the next 2 weeks. That's because there is a new member of the Sally family. So big shout-out to John and his wife, Emily, and we welcome in Henry Sally to the world. Henry is, of course, going to be a friend of the podcast. Hopefully his first few days on this earth, he listens to the Chicago Football Podcast. So we will get you ready for Bears-Vikings with Matt Venzel a little bit later in the show, Vikings beat reporter, and we'll talk about Jay Cutler in just a moment. But Dan, I want to start with the Cubs because we're recording this on Wednesday, about 5 hours before first pitch of Game 2, and the Cubs lost. And I'm not trying to reverse jinx anything here, Dan, but 2 weeks in a row, we have recorded the day after a Cubs loss, and the night after we record, the Cubs have won.
That's right.
So, again, I'm not promising anything, but I think I figured we had to start the show talking Cubs because we've been a little bit of a, you know, I don't want to say good luck charm, but, you know, there's been a trend going so far.
What else can you say? It's such a great time right now in Chicago, and thankfully we have the Cubs because, well, let's just face it, the Bears are nothing to write home about.
They're 1-6. That's what they are. And, you know, talking about that Packers game, in which I think a lot of folks in the press box are probably a little bit focused on the Cubs-Dodgers game that Thursday, which was Game 5, the Bears played a good first half, and a lot of credit to Vic Fangio and that young defense. They really did a nice job on Aaron Rodgers. But once Brian Hoyer went down, and look, the offense wasn't moving the ball anyways. That defense could not maintain that level of play for that long on the road against a guy like Aaron Rodgers. So it wasn't as bad as I think some people thought it was going to be. We got the flash from Leonard Floyd with his strip sack fumble for a touchdown, and he had another sack in the game, and he had 3 quarterback hits. So with him back, Pernell McPhee's back, you know, you could see that pass rush maybe start to get going. Willie Young's been pretty good this season. And as we're going to get to the Vikings, that is a way to beat the Vikings. As we saw what the Eagles hit Sam Bradford 12 times last week as Philadelphia handed the Vikings their first loss of the season. But I want to start with Jay Cutler. So Jay is back. He conveniently was medically cleared to return after Brian Hoyer's injury, which set the Bears up with just Matt Barkley. So Jay, we expect him to start on Monday night. And this brings the Bears, I think, you know, they're certainly going to be more competitive with Jay Cutler at quarterback than Matt Barkley. But what I found interesting, Dan, was some of the introspection we got from Jay when he met the media on Tuesday. And Jay Cutler has been very matter of fact.
Sure.
With the way things are. And he knows what's up. He understands his situation. He knows that there's no more guaranteed money in his contract. He knows that the Bears are probably going to draft a quarterback. He knows that he's got to probably play well for them to consider holding on to him. And he also knows he's good enough that if they decide not to hold on to him, that they could trade him somewhere or he could start somewhere next year. And I want to play this quote. I'll play two quotes from Jay Cutler. The first one is asking him about John Fox. And John Fox, remember, kind of opened up a little bit of a quarterback controversy by not maintaining that Jay Cutler was a starter. Foxy walked back on those this week, saying that Jay was kind of starter all along. Believe what you will. But here's Jay Cutler's reaction to whether or not the coach still supports the quarterback.
He doesn't have a choice, I guess, at this point. I mean, Brian's out, so I got to go. I've had good conversations with Foxy this week, last week, the week before. There's never been any strain in our relationship. You know, both very open and honest, and we're on the same page. We just want to win football games.
And when he says that, I mean, that is not cliche. That is the way that Jay feels about the situation. He says John Fox doesn't have a choice. He's got to support his quarterback right now. And look, you know, he could have stayed up there and said, hey, everything's great. Everything's fine. I have all the support in the world from his team. But no, you know, he's the oldest guy on the team. He's the longest tenured guy on the team. He is the highest paid. And that's how he's going to sound. And I want to play you one more quote. This is Jay Cutler about his standing in the organization.
You know, right now, working with Dow and Rags, and we're just trying to find first downs and get our third down conversion rate back up, score more points. I mean, that's all we're really trying to do, and that's all my focus is. Whatever happens at the end of the year, it's supposed to happen, and we'll go accordingly. But right now, it's not something that I worry about. You know, I've been, it's 11th year, 8th year here. I've seen a lot of ups and downs, and it's how it goes. So at the end of the year, we can have those conversations. Whatever happens, happens.
And he says it right there. Whatever happens, happens. It is what it is. A very Bill Belichickian response. But this is a player who knows what's up. He knows his scenario. He knows that his future in Chicago, you know, might not last long past this year. And Dan, I want to ask you, as someone who follows the Bears, mm-hmm. a Bears fan who follows Jay Cutler, you know, what's your response to hearing Jay so kind of, I guess, straightforward would be the right description of how he's kind of handling the situation?
I actually like it. I think that deep down Jay's aggravated, I think. And what was really wacky about the whole thing, Kevin, was what Fox turns around and says, Jay knew our plan all along. What plan? What plan was ever put in place? I mean, Fox stood up there, you know, a couple weeks ago and said, we have no plan. And now he's saying, oh, well, Jay knows our plan. I mean, the whole thing is just bizarre. And I think Jay's just aggravated. And when he says, you know, Fox doesn't have a choice, he doesn't have a choice. And you're not going to put your third string quarterback out there when you got your first string standing on the sidelines cleared for, you know, to play by the medical staff. And, you know, I don't have words. I'm sitting here stumbling around it because I really don't have words for it. It's as a Bears fan, it's very frustrating.
And I know there's probably some Bears fans who know that with Jay Cutler back in the lineup, things, you know, this Bears team's going to be in a better shape to win games, which is going to hurt their draft spot next year. Look, you know, the Vikings game coming up, which we'll get to in a second, not a good matchup for them. You know, they're not going to be expected to win. But you look at the second half of the season, some of their home games include a bad 49ers team, a mediocre Titans team. They play at a beatable Tampa team, a beatable New York Giants team. They play at Detroit. So there are going to be some opportunities for this Bears team to collect a few wins. And their first opportunity to do that, to get off the schneid, is going to be Monday night against who some people think is the best team in the NFC, even though they just lost their first game. I think a lot of people think it is the best defense in the entire NFL. And that is the Minnesota Vikings coming to Soldier Field on Halloween night. To break down the Minnesota Vikings, let's go behind enemy lines with Matt Fentzel.
He had enemy lines.
To learn a little bit more about the Bears' Monday night opponent, the Minnesota Vikings, we welcome in Matt Venzel. You can follow him on Twitter at Matt Venzel, and he was on our show last year, so Matt's officially a friend of the program, covers the Vikings for the Minneapolis Star Tribune. And Matt, start a little bit of a light note. Seems like Mike Zimmer was pretty hot last week. I hope he didn't yell at the reporters in addition to everyone on his team.
No, he's been fine. He does tend to get worked up after losses, but Mike is always fair to us. Doesn't get too worked up. We ask some dumb questions sometimes, and he lets us off the hook.
Well, that's good. And one of the groups he was obviously kind of frustrated with was that offensive line, and I think the injuries are pretty well documented, and the guys are trying to cycle through there, and the Eagles certainly took advantage. What do you see from that group in terms of how they can fix things to keep Sam Bradford upright moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say if they really can. I mean, obviously they can get better, but, you know, it's looking more and more like this unit isn't going to be the strength they hoped it would be. I mean, it's been an issue for them the past couple of years. So this year they decided to bring in Tony Sperano as offensive line coach. They brought in Alex Boone and Andre Smith. And, you know, that gave them heading into, you know, true spring workouts. They had 9 guys who had started these 16 games in the NFL. And at this point they're down to like 4 or something like that because Phil Lodeholt retired after getting hurt again. They got rid of John Sullivan. Mike Harris is dealing with some sort of illness and isn't going to play this year, it seems like. So, and then you have the injuries to Khalil and Smith, so now they're down to their, you know, 3rd and 4th or 4th and 5th offensive tackles. So, you know, it looks like Jake Long isn't going to be the answer, just health-wise, you know, based on a small sample. But, you know, the Ravens were scared off by his knee, and we'll see if they can hold up. But, yeah, you know, any improvement is going to have to come from within. You know, I think the biggest issue is the tackles, and we'll see what the Vikings can do about it. Stranger things have happened than offensive lines coming together late, but it seems to be a big issue right now, and it's probably more of a question of, you know, can these guys survive and go on a deep playoff run in spite of an offensive line that is going to be probably one of the league's worst.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll say this. Usually the Bears have been the cure to any team's weakness this season, so maybe facing the Bears on Monday night could help the offensive line feel a little better. I want to stick with kind of the passing game, and I think everyone knows that Sam Bradford, the first 5 games, extremely efficient, accurate, wasn't turning the ball over. That changed a little bit against Philadelphia. I heard the commentators during the Fox broadcast mention a lack of weapons, and I think that, you know, Stephon Diggs, I think we all know what he's capable of, Kyle Rudolph as well, but what do you see in terms of, I guess, what would your evaluation be of the passing game right now, where it's at, and what still needs to kind of come together for Bradford?
Yeah, and it's surprising that Bradford played as well as he did, given that, you know, his first start against the Packers might have been his best game, and that was after being with the team for 15 days, and, you know, I think he's been better than expected. He's shown that he can, you know, elevate players around him, but pass protection is the team's biggest weakness and could potentially be what unravels them in the end. And then, you know, as far as their pass catchers go, you know, Stephon Diggs had that great 2-game spurt to start the season, but his production has tailed off, perhaps because he's been dealing with a groin injury. Kyle Rudolph's got off to a hard start as well, but he's hasn't had as much production. I mean, their leading receiver the past 3 weeks in terms of catches has been Cordarrelle Patterson, which everybody kind of assumed that, you know, his role in the offense was done in what is a contract season for him, but he's been a pleasant surprise. But still, you know, this is an underwhelming group. They used their first round pick on Chicago native Laquon Treadwell, and, you know, surprisingly, he still has yet to kind of carve out a role. So it's not a great group in terms of pass catchers. It could potentially be down the road if Diggs can develop consistency and Treadwell can finally come along, but, you know, right now it seems like their best passing option is probably Adam Thielen, who, you know, a few years ago, you know, made the team at a tryout at a rookie minicamp and has carved out a nice role, not only in special teams, but now on offense. But the weapons around him are not great, and he's been able to, up until the Philadelphia game, play very good football in spite of that.
Yeah, you mentioned Laquon Treadwell, and you know, our listeners probably know him, as you mentioned, Chicago native, went to Crete Moni High School. What is the situation with him? What is preventing him from getting on the field and being able to make an impact?
you know, the coaches have been pretty vague about it, and understandably so. I mean, the main message they keep saying is just he's just not ready, mentally ready, in terms of, you know, consistent practice performances and doing the right things. And they won't give much detail other than that, because obviously they don't want to air out any issues they have with their first-round pick in the media. But, you know, it is surprising, especially given the alternatives at that split end spot. Charles Johnson, I think the last big play he made was the catch he made in Chicago last year as the Vikings had that comeback.
Right.
He's been a disappointment. I don't even think he's gotten to 10 receptions on the year, and now he's pretty much their number four receiver. So for whatever reason, they're not, you know, comfortable going for the Clon Treadwell. And, you know, at a certain point, I know you don't want to just throw him out there when he's not ready, but he's got to be better than the alternatives. Plus, they could really use his size in the red zone where they continue to have issues. And, you know, he's dealing with, I think, a thumb injury or a finger injury. And that probably played into the fact that he didn't play last week. But, you know, if he's healthy, you can't help but wonder if maybe the Chicago game is a chance to at least ease him in a little bit into the offense.
Yeah, I'm sure his friends and family would love to see him out there at Soldier Field. Talking to Matt Wentzel, Vikings beat reporter for the Minneapolis Star Tribune. And Matt, one more thing on the offensive side of the ball. From a Chicago perspective, and the Bears have had this for a couple of weeks now, facing weak running games, you look at the numbers for McKinnon and Asiata, and you look at the yards per carry for the team as a whole, you would think, okay, that's an area where the Bears could take advantage, stuff the run, get the Vikings in third and long, you know, so on and so forth. But obviously the first five games of the season, at least, that run game without Adrian Peterson wasn't keeping the Vikings from winning games. So that matchup there, you know, the Vikings rushing offense versus the Bears run defense, how do you kind of handicap it? And obviously this is going to be something going forward for Minnesota if they want to continue to make it to the playoffs.
Well, yeah, I mean, they got to prove it. I mean, they can look at the matchup and say, okay, this is a good opportunity, but they've only had one game where they've topped 100 rushing yards, and that was a win over the Giants, who have been actually pretty good at stopping their run. Other than that, they've had problems. I mean, it isn't just the fact that Adrian isn't there. Adrian actually was less productive. Somehow that's possible, but he was less productive in the first couple of games before he tore his meniscus. And they actually have shown a little bit of signs of life. With Adrian, the big issue with him is he's not really comfortable running out of the shotgun. And they've wanted to go to more of that approach. And some have argued, and I guess there's some validity to it, that they're actually better off offensively without Adrian in the mix, because they can use more of a shotgun spread attack that Bradford has thrived in. And Jerick McKinnon, the new starting running back, has thrived there too. But, you know, overall, they haven't been well. They haven't done well. Their numbers against the Eagles were kind of inflated a little bit, because Matt Asiata was able to pop like a 25-yard run on a third and long draw play where they basically were just playing for field position. He was able to break it. Other than that, they probably would have been right around, you know, 3 yards per carry. So, yeah, I mean, it's a good matchup. You know, one of them probably figures to take advantage of it. But, you know, as far as the Vikings are concerned, until they prove that they can get a consistent running game going, you can't count on it.
Let's switch to the defensive side of the ball, and I have a very simple question. Is there a weakness on the Vikings defense?
It's hard to say, really. I mean, they've done a really good job of assembling talent, and Mike Zimmer obviously is one of the league's best defensive play callers, and, you know, he gave the general manager, Rick Spielman, and the scouting staff a clear picture of what he wanted every player. And the defensive line is probably their strength. I mean, Everson Griffin is a very good defensive end. Linval Joseph, the nose tackle, might be the best in the NFL. They have Daniil Hunter, a really promising second-year player coming off the bench. So they have a lot of depth there. There's talent in the linebacker corps for sure. I mean, Anthony Barr and Eric Kendricks are going to play, unless there's an injury, every single snap. You'll see a little bit of Chad Greenway, but he doesn't really play much. Those two are super talented. But they've kind of been a little inconsistent this year. You know, Barr was a Pro Bowler last year in large part because he made a bunch of splash plays. Hasn't really had that same kind of impact this year, but we'll see if he can get that going. And then on the back end, I mean, they have, you know, four pretty good corners with Terrence Newman still playing well. Xavier Rhodes has been good. Trey Waynes has been a little bit up and down, but he's done okay. Their top pick from a year ago. And then Captain Marlin's their slot guy. So, you know, you could argue the biggest weakness maybe is Anderson Dejo, the other safety next to Harrison Smith, but even he has played really well this year with a couple interceptions. He did sprain his ankle against the Eagles. It's not sure if he's going to be able to play against Chicago. So if Jayron Kearse, the seventh round pick from Clemson, ends up being the starter at that other safety spot, I guess you could say that would be a weak link if the Bears can find a way to exploit it.
The Bears, with Jay Cutler back in the lineup, are certainly going to do their best to get Alshon Jeffery involved. And Jeffery's had some monster games against Minnesota, but not in the past couple seasons. It's been interesting to watch how other teams have defended Jeffery. The last game in Jacksonville, Jacksonville has put Jalen Ramsey on him one-on-one, didn't feel the need to bring on safety help. What do you see Minnesota doing? Do they put Rhodes on him one-on-one? Do they bracket him with the safety? Do they mix it up a little bit? How do you think they're going to play Alshon?
Well, I think they're always going to mix it up a little bit, especially when they go to some of their, you know, blitz looks on third down with the double A gaps. But I do think Rhodes will track him. He has in the past. You know, unless Jeffery goes into the slot, then he'll be on Captain Marlin, which would be a pretty big size mismatch. But for the most part, as long as he's on the outside, I expect Rhodes to follow him around. And it'll give him help at some point. But Rhodes has done a pretty good job against some top receivers this year. So I think they'd probably feel pretty confident, at least, you know, mostly leaving him one-on-one against Jeffery. And then if Jeffery starts to really exploit him, then maybe they try to give him a little bit more help.
Just a couple more here with Matt Fensel. Go follow him on Twitter at Matt Fensel if you want to learn more about the Vikings before Monday night's game. Although Matt, as you probably know, folks in Chicago are not paying too much attention to the Bears right now. But, you know, we're hoping a little Monday night football, Jay Cutler coming back, can increase some attention around here for the football team. How do the Vikings respond to the loss? You know this team well. It's obviously a lot of young players, some key veterans mixed in there. You know, the talk as we opened the interview about Zimmer getting into it, you know, not into it, but, you know, getting animated with some of them. How does this team respond to that first loss this season?
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll be fine. I mean, this is a special team, I think, in terms of their makeup. The fact that they've been able to overcome the loss of Teddy Bridgewater, you know, right before the season started, you know, losing Adrian Peterson, you know, losing their two starting offensive tackles, you know, that has obviously hurt. Some of that has hurt them from just a football standpoint. But in terms of their mentality, this is a special group, and, you know, it's just a question whether the talent can carry into where they need to go. So, you know, I expect them to bounce back. You know, Jay Cutler has fared well against them. The Vikings have struggled at Soldier Field. You know, they lost, what, 7 straight before this past year. So I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk. But I think the expectation is for the Vikings to bounce back, not dwell too much on that loss. I mean, real issue was exposed. Not that it was a secret that they struggle in pass protection, but this is kind of like, could potentially be a sneak preview of what finally does this team in the end, the pass protection. But, you know, for the most part, this is a pretty good group. They have good resolve, and I think they'll find a way to win. They're not going to lose because of the mindset. I'll say that much.
Yeah, I'll wrap up with this, man. And I think a lot of Bears fans are looking ahead to the future already. Obviously, the team is 1-6. This is a team that is rebuilding. They've added a lot of parts on defense. You are been covering a team that is really focused building the defense in the draft, aside from obviously Treadwell and Bridgewater in the, you know, two of the last 4 years in the first round. But from being around Rick Spielman and watching the way that they've built that team, has it changed or altered, I guess, the way that you view building a defense through the draft the way that the Vikings have?
I mean, it's an interesting question. I mean, for starters, they've had a lot of first-round picks. I mean, they had that three-year stretch where they had 7 first-round picks. So that's kind of helped them to get players they covet that are good players that have become cornerstone players of the defense, like Rhodes and Anthony Barr and Harrison Smith. They've been smart about the free agents they brought in. You know, 2 years ago, they brought in Limbo Joseph and Captain Marlin, who have turned out to be good fits. They also found Tom Johnson, kind of a journeyman guy who's been a really good sub pass rusher for them. But I think the interesting thing was in Zimmer's year, his second year, you know, it's clear, and you could still argue that the offensive side of the ball has plenty of shortcomings, but instead of drafting a wide receiver, which is a need 2 years ago, or offensive lineman, they came out with their first 3 picks in the 2015 draft and drafted Trey Waynes. Then they drafted Eric Anderson, their linebacker, and then Danielle Hunter. So, you know, other teams might have, you know, kind of tried to distribute it, balance it out a little bit, but the Vikings kind of doubled down to, this is our identity. We have a defensive coach. we want to build the best defense in the league, both around a young quarterback who isn't making a lot of money, kind of like what Seattle did. And, you know, we'll see if Bridgewater is able to, you know, bounce back, or they're going to have to go into next year with Sam Bradford. But the fact that they've had so many young defenders, which they're going to start paying soon, but they've gotten impact defenders who aren't making a lot of money, and that's allowed them to have really great depth. And, you know, it's finally showing up last year. I mean, they were pretty good last year. This year, they're arguably the best defense in the NFL.
Well, you know, it's hard to try to emulate what the Packers do because they got Aaron Rodgers, but I think the Bears and Bears fans would love to be able to emulate what the Vikings have been able to put together over the past few seasons. Matt Fensel, Vikings beat writer for the Star Tribune out there in Minneapolis. Matt, thanks for joining us, and we'll see what mood the city is in when you come to Chicago for Halloween.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Take care. Big thank you to Matt for that interview. Interesting to get his take on how they've built that defense, what has worked for them, and also some of the flaws on the offensive side of the ball. And I'll get more into what I think is going to happen in this game in a little bit. But first, I want to tell you about Fan Essentials. How would you like to get all of your favorite NFL teams merchandise delivered straight to your doorstep? Check out fanessentials.net. You pick your favorite sports team, and every month you get teams gear shipped right to your door. They find the gear, and you don't have to. Each fan box comes full with some amazing gear and makes a great gift idea for any sports fan. Prices start at $34.99. And if you go to fanessentials.net and use the promo code Chicago at checkout, you're going to get 30% off your first month. Again, use that promo code Chicago at fanessentials.net. Get 30% off your first delivery of gifts and team items from your favorite sports team. So Bears Vikings Monday night Halloween. Dan, I think you and I can agree the best part of this game is that it is on the World Series off day. You know, if this series ends in 4 or 5, we don't have to, you know, the game 5 of the World Series is on Sunday. The Bears are off. Game 6 and 7 is Tuesday and Wednesday. So that's, I think, what on the minds of many Chicago fans is that. And I got to tell you, I don't know if you saw the stat last week when the Bears played the Packers, and we talked about this on the show. The same time as Game 5 of the NLCS, the Cubs doubled the TV ratings in Chicago, the Bears did, and that blew my mind. I mean, I knew the Cubs were going to beat them, but to double them really tells you where the Bears are at in terms of Chicago sports right now compared to the Cubs. And there's a story up at Sports Illustrated about what Cubs are doing to the national TV ratings. It's insane. It's understandable. And look, the Bears are 1-6. I don't blame people for turning them off. But no Cubs on Monday night. Folks can tune in ESPN to and WCIU, the U, locally, to watch Bears-Vikings. Get you our picks in just a second. But the way to get to beat the Vikings is, you know, talking to Matt, you got to stop the run. It's not hard to do it. The Bears have the talent with Trevathan and Freeman and Akeem Hicks, you know, to do that. And then you put Sam Bradford in third and long. And when you put him in third and long, then you can let Leonard Floyd, Pernell McPhee, Willie Young, let those guys loose, run some blitzes, because you can get after this Vikings offensive line. And the Bears are going to have to create turnovers because it's going to be really tough for them to get going. This is the, you know, one of the worst scoring offenses in the league, the Chicago Bears. They're bad in the red zone. And you're going against just a stellar Vikings defense across the board. It's going to be a really tough game for the offensive line. Keep an eye on injuries. The Bears started the week, no Kyle Long, no Josh Sitton. That's going to be tough for them to make up for that. They do, it looks like they're going to get Jeremy Langford back, gives them another option in the run game. But no Eddie Royal practice. So it's going to be really tough for this offense to get moving against, as we mentioned, just a really, really good Minnesota Vikings defense. The Bears have their bye week after this game. So they got a mini bye heading into Minnesota, which is on a Monday night. So they got 10 days off, which is crazy, which, you know, should work for them to get healthy, as we saw with Jay Cutler's fortuitous timing in getting healthy. And I think the Bears have enough to give the Vikings a run to make this game close. I believe the spread as we were taping is Vikings by 6 points. And keep in mind, you give 3 points to the home team. So it's essentially the Vikings are almost a double-digit point favorite, you know, or double-digit points better than the Bears right now, which is absolutely true. When you look at the injuries, you look at the team. And I think the Vikings are a great case study. And here's a team that lost their starting quarterback. They lost their star running back. And here they are, 5-1. Top of the division, great defense. The Bears have had a ton of injuries. It's been bad. But, you know, teams that have more depth are able to weather the storm, and the Bears just haven't been able to do that. So, Dan Mott, I'll go to you. Who do you have on Monday night? Do the Bears pull the upset, or at least do they cover that 6-point spread?
Kevin, I think that this Monday night football game is going to be the scariest thing you see on Halloween. I really do. And I'm going as far to say that it's going to be Vikings 42, Bears 14.
Holy cow. 42 points for the Minnesota Vikings. My goodness, that would not be a very good first Halloween gift for Henry Solly, new friend of the program, the baby boy of our producer John Solly, born this week. Henry wants to see in his first days on Earth is a Cubs World Series and a Bears win over the Vikings on Monday
Halloween,
night.
Halloween.
Yeah. So are they going to dress him up, you think? We'll ask John when he comes back. But what a time to be alive when you got the Cubs in the World Series, you got this crazy election, and you got a 1-6 Bears team. So I will be dressed up as a curmudgeon-y beat reporter, probably complain about if it's cold in the press box. Maybe eating the hot dogs that John Fox says
that's right.
In the press box and not paying attention. So I will be in quite the scary costume. I don't even know if I'm dressing up this weekend, Dan, because I'm just going to be watching the Cubs. I'm going to be so focused on the Cubs that I can't have some costume getting in my way, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Unless I threw on like some Harry Carey glasses, because that gets into the... You could say you're dressing up and you're focused on the Cubs.
Speaking of Harry Carey, have you seen the video going around of Will Ferrell's impression on Kimmel? Oh, it's so good.
I really do enjoy his Harry Carey impression a lot better than Ryan Dempster's, but that's another story for another day. So Bears-Vikings Halloween night at Soldier Field. I think it's going to be low scoring. I think the Bears defense is going to make it interesting, but I do have the Vikings winning, Bears covering. I think I picked a weird score for this one, Dan. As you know, I like to do something like Vikings 19, Bears 13, or maybe no. I know I did Vikings 15, Bears 13. Lots of field goals, ugly game. You're going to try to turn the TV off and look for a Cubs game. It's not going to be on. But head to WCIU, watch the WCIU broadcast of Monday night's game, and also head to WCIU on Saturday morning, 10:30 a.m. for this week's episode of Chicago Football Now, as Hub, Arthur, and I break down Bears-Vikings and get you set for Week 8 in the NFL. That'll do it for this week's edition of PFW's Chicago Football Podcast. Big thank you to my executive producer, Dan Mott. Doing it solo today, and a big shout out again to our associate producer John Solly. Congratulations to him, of course. Actually, more congratulations to his wife on the birth of their new baby boy, Henry. Go check out all of our stuff on Twitter at Bears_Insider. Add us on Snapchat, Bears_Insider. Check out all of our Bears coverage at profootballweekly.com/Bears. Thank you again to Matt Fensel. Our schedule will be a little off next week with the Monday night game and the Bears being on bye, but I promise you, we will have more Bears talk and maybe some Cubs talk coming up for you next week.